When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
Like, this is the job that anyone in the conference would want to be coaching at or playing at, you know? So with that comes a certain level of expectation. Like, it's better than the alternative, you know, of being in a situation where you want a better job, where you have those sorts of expectations, right? So we just embrace it and try to get lost in the work. But I understand what our expectation is to win. And I'm glad that we've set those expectations the last couple of years, and we'll keep it going.
All right, we are here, another episode of Not Even D2. Great episode where we talk with Coach Clayman, Coach Flynn Clayman, who's currently the High Point University head coach, one of the best offensive minds in the country. And I'm not over-exaggerating when I say that, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm curious first what you do this weekend, bro. We haven't talked in a little minute. Talk to me.
Yeah, I had a pretty solid weekend, bro. We had our Utica basketball had their first game on Saturday. So I traveled out to Delhi with them and put on the coaching gear. And, you know, they won. They got a good win over Delhi. So that was a lot of fun. And then Sunday, our JV basketball team here at Utica played against NAS and they got a great win. I was watching the live stream with some of my friends. So it was a pretty solid weekend. A lot of good NBA games too. What were you up to this weekend, bro?
Nah, that's tough. Utica 2-0, stay on that winning path. I watched Alfred for a little bit. They went 1-1 this past weekend, but I went out to Vermont, my little brother, playing his first college games. He had 11 points his second game. So shout out to him. His roommate had 40 in one of the games. So they're lit right now, 1-1 on the season, but that's what I did, a lot of traveling. But, you know, I'm a traveler. I like going city, back to the crib, Vermont. It was a good weekend. But like you said, the NBA, I feel like if you don't watch one night, then you just missed a ton of content and a ton of great games. Like yesterday, we're recording on Tuesday, so Monday night, I'm looking at the games and watching some of them. Like the Pistons beat the Wizards in overtime. Cade had 46, 12, and 11, even though it wasn't like a great 46. He was 14 of 45 from the floor. That's crazy. CJ McCollum kind of woke up. He started off bad for the Wizards. Now he's lit. He had 42 last night. Desmond Bane hit a buzzer beater, kind of keeping the Magic a hold. If they lost that one, that would have been tough. The Heat, did you see any of the Heat game yesterday?
I saw the game winner, the play design from Eric Spoelstra. It looked crazy.
Yeah, Spo. They had like an elevator screen to a back screen and got Andrew Wiggins a wide open dunk. But that's why you don't put somebody on the ball. You need somebody in that painted area. You know they're going for that. Then Wemby had 38, 12, and 5 blocks with De'Aaron Fox coming back. The Bulls lost 3 straight. I can keep on going. Cooper Flagg looked good last night, but what were you watching?
I watched that Pistons game, bro. My boy Duncan killed. He had a pretty good game, 13, had a clutch shot in the fourth quarter. Paul Reed, baby, Paul Reed. At like 8 and 14 minutes, he was playing well now. But, you know, Cade played well. They had a pretty solid game. You know, good win, come from behind against the Wizards. You just talked about it. But, that was a great win. And then I caught a little bit of the Lakers versus Hornets game. You know, Hornets kind of came back in the end a little bit. But it was mostly the Lakers show. I know I said Jokic for MVP, but if the Lakers finish top 3 in the West, bro, and Luka keeps doing what he's doing right now, averaging 37 – I might have to say him for MVP. I know Shea is killing the game right now. They undefeated, I think, still. But
now they lost.
Luka, you know, I think you know Luka, one of my favorite players. But yeah.
Now, it'd be interesting in terms of the MVP, especially Luka. One, he's got to stay healthy and reach the games, but obviously that's not what you're worried about first when you talk about MVP with Luka. But what I'm more interested in is how LeBron comes back and how that changes the dynamic. Because right now, like, when you're playing with two ball-dominant players, him and AR, it's easy – not easy, but, like, it's easier to get your stats going. But then when you bring Bron, he's going to need the ball too. So it's going to definitely mix some things up. But, you know, I'm still Jack and Shea. They're 8-9-1. They play the Lakers this week, actually, so we'll see what's going on with that. But let's talk about this episode with Coach Klayman. High Point currently 2-0. They set, like, a program record in points with 127. They played against I don't even know how to pronounce the school, Averett or something. Not a Division I school, so you're not going to say anything too crazy about that performance, but 127 is 127. And Coach Klayman's offense is elite, bro. Like, I was watching a lot of their stuff, and like, they do a lot of DHOs and motion principles, but it's all read and react in a way. And then, like, they have probably a top point guard in mid-major programs, and Rob Martin, he looks super comfortable out there playing with elite craft and great pace. I've never seen a team be able to, like, get so many wide open looks, and they're really good shooters. They all play off too. And this is all, like, because of Coach Klayman. Like, if you watch him on the sideline, he's not doing anything crazy or, like, drawing up anything specific, but they're just, like, this summer program that they're doing, this this off-season training that they got going on, like, it's really building something special. And it's not just, like, the first two games why they're doing so good. Like, his track record from the past two seasons leading this offense, like, last year, 98th percentile in points per possession. So, like, he has a track record already proven, and I'm excited to see what they do the rest of the year.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I think, you know, they had a top five ranked offense last year, so it makes sense why it carries over now. Obviously, he's the main guy now. He's the main coach, so everything's, you know, following him. But I just thought his story was interesting, bro. I mean, he was NAIA hooper, which I love. You know, he was a killer down there, shot, I think, over 45% from three. So he was a bucket back in his day, has seen so much, so many different levels, and so many different types of basketball, which is, I think, what helps him the most in his career now at High Point, right? He's just able to connect so many different backgrounds of basketball to where he's at today. And, you know, I wasn't a fan of High Point. I didn't really watch them before we filmed this episode, honestly, with Coach Klayman. But after filming the episode and after, you know, we're about to lock in with him this week and drop an episode, I am a fan of a High Point, bro. I love what they're doing over there. He has a great culture. And, you know, with the facilities they have, the funding they have from the president and AD, I don't see why High Point can't become a national, you know, mid-major powerhouse for the next couple of years with Coach Klayman at the helm. So really great episode, bro. Love filming with Coach Klayman, and definitely a High Point fan going forward.
Yes, sir, bro. And likewise, like, I'm a fan now too. One thing also about their offense, like, if you miss a shot, even if you make a shot, but they're getting out and going. So it's going to be a tough scout game to game for, like, if you're on a back-to-back or you only have a short week to prepare for them, good luck, because their offense is crazy. And, like, their defense hasn't been the best the past few years, but, like, Klayman talked about, like, effort, and right now they're flying around on defense. Obviously, some of that stuff will take a dip down when teams start to scheme for them and, like, pick out matchups, stuff like that, but they just got a really good culture right now. They're 2-0, like I said, and preseason ranked to win their conference again. So, like I said, we're fans, and this is a great episode. Make sure you subscribe, like, go follow us at Not Even D2, and let's get into the conversation with Coach Klayman.
All right, we are here, another episode of Not Even D2, and we are here today with Coach Klayman. How you doing today, Coach?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
I'm good. Appreciate you getting on the podcast. Definitely excited for this one. It's opening night in the NBA. You can't see my shirt. I'm rocking my Thunder. I'm hyped for them tonight, even though I got class. But I'm curious if you follow the league and if you have any, like, favorite coaches, players, anything like that.
I mean –
Of course I follow, yeah, but it's not the same as maybe when I was growing up. I mean, I grew up a Lakers fan, but kind of just business growing up in LA, that's where I grew up. And over the years of just the business of basketball, you get, especially in college basketball, you're so locked into your league, your team, your recruiting, all that, I mean, you kind of don't get to be the kind of fan anymore that you like being. But, you know, I do have a love for the Lakers. And then I got, you know, I like certain players and coaches and nothing too crazy, but, you know, I'm not like a fan of one particular coach or anything like that, but I do like to steal little things here and there from all of them because they're all obviously great and have unique ideas.
I read online that maybe High Point and you yourself also played professional and overseas for a little bit, but High Point has a pro style offense. Are you watching these NBA teams or is it overseas teams? What does that look like for you?
I would say what we're doing is a mix of just basically what most good offenses are doing now in terms of trying to play fast, trying to play with space, trying to get shots at the rim and get fouled or get threes for the most part. And then how we get to that is very similar. It would be concepts that you could see in NBA games. I mean, a lot of NBA concepts are just very simple. They're just so good at reading and reacting that they don't have to script every little thing. You would see a lot of stuff we run at any level of basketball for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely like a copycat thing or like game at this point. Everybody's running the same thing. We talk to coaches and everyone's saying like, yeah, we hunt threes and layups. We're running fast. So definitely see what you're talking about. So this your first year, obviously, in the head coaching seat, and you guys have a pretty different roster. You brought in 10 new guys, I think eight transfers and two freshmen, a few big names on the transfer list. I'm just curious how preseason's been, what's the energy been like? And on a lighter note, we always hear like people talk about their welcome to D1 moment or welcome to college moment. I'm curious if you have like a welcome to head coaching moment.
Well, I'll start with the first one with our transfers, eight new guys, like you said, they've been gelling together really well. Everybody's healthy, you know, knock on wood. Everyone on the roster is, so hopefully that can stay that way. Guys, I mean, it's hard to say who's the best. I mean, it's take your pick on which day. We've got to be one of the deeper teams in the country, in terms of, I feel like I've got 13 guys that can play and probably be starters in our conference. So I love our depth, and we have a lot of high character, unselfish guys that are gelling together and have a goal of winning a championship and really nothing else. And then what was your second question again?
Just like if you have a funny
story. Welcome to head coach moment. You know, I had an interesting opportunity to be the interim head coach at Southern Utah for three games in the postseason, which was a nice way to get my feet wet. And that was a high-pressure situation. So I got the feel of coaching D1 games in win-or-go-home situations, which was great. But just coaching the other day, I mean, in our first exhibition, now you know it's a real thing. It's your program. I wouldn't say there's one particular moment that stands out to me. I don't really sit back and think a lot about the past. That's not like my strength. I'm always thinking about the next thing. But just the whole experience in general has been, you know, sometimes you pinch yourself like, oh man, I'm really getting this opportunity. This is awesome. You know, when you're working as an assistant, you're just doing the best you can to be the best assistant you can. And you hope that maybe organically this is going to happen. And then to get this opportunity and to be one of the youngest head coaches in the country, you know, every now and then you're like, oh man, this is real life. Like, this is pretty cool. So there's been a few just pinch yourself moments, you know, but nothing in particular.
No, it's awesome to hear that type of stuff, coach, honestly, because like with coaching, the business is so tough because you really don't know when an opportunity is going to come your way. You kind of have to be ready for anything at that point. And now you're at High Point University, head coach at one of the most beautiful campuses in the country. Like, I'm sure every time you pull in, you're like, whoa, like, this is my life. Like, this is what I got. Like, it's definitely a cool story, coach. Can't lie.
Yeah, it's really cool, especially because my wife is an assistant coach here too for the women's team. So it's like we're living the dream. But, you know, I understand it's a privilege. I understand there are really high expectations. I understand what it comes with it. So they put a lot of trust in me. So I try to just work, man, like work like crazy to try to prove people right that believed in me and gave me this opportunity. Try to work like crazy for the players in the past couple of years who made us have the success to get to this point where everybody got opportunities to move up and do their thing. Like, just a lot of people that you're working for when you get an opportunity like this. So I try to keep that in my head every day.
Yeah, that's a great mindset. And I feel like when I was watching the High Point film, one of my takeaways was that you were kind of ready to be in this head coaching job. Just a few things, like if the other team was scoring the tournament, you're like let's get the offense going. You said one of your strengths is like just the next thing forward. That's one thing. And then when you guys won the conference championship, it wasn't like not throwing any shade or anything, but some of like the coaches were like jumping of joy, and you just were like thanks to the fans and shake hands. Like, that's how a head coach moves. Like, we talked to the Big East commissioner, and she was saying how like when they hit the buzzer beater, Jay Wright was just like locked in to shake the head coach's hand. He wasn't ready to like celebrate or anything. So I was just like, yeah, Coach Clayman's ready to be a head coach for sure. Moving on to another topic, I'm going to challenge you a little bit. Don't take it in the wrong way. There's been like some flack about High Point schedule that you guys might have only 5 conference losses in the last few years. You guys win a lot of games, but you're not really playing anyone. Like, I think looking at the schedule, I've only seen like 1 or 2 high major teams. So what would your response be to that? Just talk about like the scheduling process, Big South play, and what would you say to like that hate comment?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's totally fair. I mean, we're in a unique situation where we can't get a high major team to play us. So, like, we would try every single one. If I had to put some people on blast, I would. There's certain people that talk out like they would play anybody anytime. That's totally false. So we've tried everything and anything to get high major games the last 2 years. We wanted to play at least one each year. Now, nobody's going to go out and just play 5 just because. Like, the teams that do, it's a financial situation where they're made to do that and they have to raise money. But we would like to play at least one so that we're more prepared. Like, when we play a Purdue, you know, we did get Georgia our first year. But then, you know, after you play that game, they're like, well, we're never playing you guys again, because it was like a very tough game for them. And then the way the net system is built, where we are in the net, we would be the number one group of teams that nobody would play. You know, like, it's just not a smart play for somebody to buy us at all. I've even offered local high majors to we'd come for free, you know, and they don't want to do that. In terms of, you know, but we do make the schedule tougher than we have to, you know. Like, we don't have to buy North Texas, for example. Like, but we bought North Texas. We could have went and bought, you know, some team below 300. I mean, that's the second ranked team in the American. You know, we didn't have to start a home and home with UAB. You know, we do that. You know, we're able to get those wins. You know, this season, we've got Missouri Valley School coming in, Southern Illinois. We've got an A-10 school, LaSalle, coming in. We've got Furman in that opening night. Like, that's definitely a tough opening night matchup. But the fact of the matter is, no, we don't have one of the toughest schedules in the country. You know, it's just what it is. But we make it a little tougher than we have to, I'd say that. And as the program continues to grow, I think the next evolution is that if we can get into that Quad 2 range, like, we'd have to get about, based off last year's net, we'd only have to be 7 spots higher if we were the same this year to be a Quad 2 game for somebody. So that might be more appealing to a high major to play us. So we just got to keep building and get into that Quad 1, Quad 2 game range for these teams. I would say that we have a little more interest in teams wanting to come here and play, because we are a Quad 2 if you play us at home. So that was of interest to North Texas and schools like UAB. They think, okay, that's a while they respect the program and that it's a tough game, they think maybe that's a more winnable Quad 2 game. You know what I'm saying? So The scheduling thing is interesting, but we would love to get a high major. We're welcome to any. And if you find any that are willing to play us next year, just call me right away.
We got you, Coach. We got you. I don't know if I was a head coach and I had to play a team that had an offense statistically ranked behind Kansas. I think it was like Kansas and Duke or something like that. It was top five in the top three in the country. I don't know if I'm a head coach. I don't want to do that either. Honestly, that's pretty elite numbers though.
Last season, yeah, KenPom raw efficiency. So adjusted efficiency was which counts your strength of schedule. We were 27th in the country, and then just your raw numbers, which doesn't account for strength of schedule. We were third in the country behind Duke and Gonzaga.
Two high major elite programs. I'm wondering, your AD, when you first got hired, made a note of just how you developed the offense to be that. And you talked about in your answer, like how you have a lot of people that trust you and look up to you. So just talk about just implementing the offense to high point. I know we talked about it in the beginning of the episode, but some of your inspiration when drawing up the plays and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Huss gave me a good responsibility of being an offensive coordinator. He gave me the same role that Coach McDermott gave him at Creighton before he came here, which was a lot of responsibility to like implement things, to have a large segment of practice where it's like you just decide what you're doing. Like here's 30 minutes, do whatever you want with the offense type thing. He collaborated with me a lot on everything. I mean, I learned a lot from him. We did a lot of Creighton principles. We couldn't do exactly everything they did in terms of their motion being exactly the same with personnel being a little different, but we did a lot of those concepts. And then when it came to actual plays and play calling, that was a mix of concepts I've learned over the years, concepts we ran at my previous school, concepts they ran out of sets. But ultimately, I would say it was similar to Creighton. It was probably a little slower than they play, just, again, based off personnel. But I try to adjust to my players. So this year we have different personnel. There'll be a little bit different things. I try to just tweak things towards their strengths and weaknesses. But in the end, it's going to be the same thing. We're trying to get to the free throw line. We're trying to get dunks, layups, and threes, and then late shot clock. You know, guys can try to get other shots, but it's ultimately going to lead to about the same thing.
Yeah, 100%. Along the lines of offense, we talked about like KenPom rankings and you knew everything. I'm wondering, are you like an analytic guy when you're in practice? Like, hey, this shot right now is the best for us. Like, what's your relationship with analytics?
Yeah, I mean, I would say since I've gotten into college basketball and the more I've studied just scouting reports and what even when you're just studying players of scouting them for either for a game or for if you want them like a kid in the portal, just trusting those numbers, they rarely lie to you. You know, there's a context to them always that I think some people don't always get the full picture if you just look at the numbers because there's a lot of factors that can play into things like a kid who's maybe playing around 8 to 10 minutes a game, you know, he might suffer from some confidence issues in those 8 to 10 minutes. Whereas a kid who's playing 25 to 30 minutes, like I'm going to probably trust the efficiency a little more. If a kid is playing for a traditionally bad offense and his efficiency numbers are low, you try to think, okay, well, what if I took that skill set and put it in my offense? You know, those are context things that and there are tools out there that try to help and predict those things, believe it or not. But Coach Huss was very, very numbers based. Like it was almost like it was crazy how numbers based he was. So I saw how that worked. And so I started to become more and more. I'm not as much as him, but the numbers tell you the truth most of the time if you're willing to trust it. And it's really remarkable how rarely players can get outside of those numbers and beat them. For like if you go into a game and you see his analytics show, like if you take away this shot or that shot, he can't beat you, like 99% of the time that's what's going to happen. I mean, and so I'm pretty analytical now when it comes to shot selection. It's everything. I mean, I know for a fact that I tell our guys all the time, the good offensive numbers we have are not plays. It's our skill development and our shot selection, you know, getting those shots we want and making those shots. And so we spend over half our time on offensive work is just skill work. You know, it's not run in place. So I know that it's kind of like an ego thing. You know, it doesn't really matter what I have. It matters if you can make the shots, if you finish at the rim, if you can make open threes. Like, doesn't matter what the plays are. You know, I think some coaches think they're too important or overestimate their importance. A lot of times it's like, just get these guys the work they need and tell them the shots they should take and get out of the way, you know, and let them play. So that's how we've kind of done it. It hasn't just been all about X's and O's. You know, it's just mostly skill development and shot selection.
It's funny. I feel like some of the best coaches will always say, like, you know, make the players make the plays at the end of the day. Like, the coaches will put the players in the best situation maybe, but the players at the end of the day have to make the reads, make the, you know, make that extra pass, make the shots. Like, you're not on the floor. You can't do it for them. Another quick thing too, I was wondering about, you said skill work and you talked about how you guys played a lot of live basketball this summer. So is a lot of live basketball your skill work? I'm interested to hear that.
So like the summer for us is literally all skill work and live play. And when we're saying live play, it's just like our motion offense. Like, we didn't even talk about our defense in the summer. So we were just, they were kind of just running around and doing whatever on defense. But that's what we spend the whole summer on, is a lot of it is just individual development in the summer. And then we get those 4 hours a week as a team. Now, our individual development is with our graduate assistants, and we're fortunate here to have 5 graduate assistants. So like, our guys are in the gym shooting with those guys, and they can be in there as long as they want. But as a staff, we only get 4 hours a week. So they get a ton of shooting with GAs, a ton of skill work with GAs. And then when we get to those 4 hours in the summer, it's pretty much, I try to just play pretty much the whole time. I did about 10 minutes of defense work, of just sort of effort stuff, not even scheme stuff, just to make sure that when we did play, there was some effort to it defensively, so we could get something out of it offensively. But I try to trim the fat on like drills. You know, I don't love drills unless they're getting our guys better with their skill work.
I mean, you're hitting on a lot of like great points. Even to spin back on like you talking about when you're looking at analytics and noticing, okay, a kid's playing 8 minutes, he might have confidence issues, or he's in a bad offense that's taking his numbers down a little bit. Like, some coaches aren't even thinking about that aspect. And then it's also like fun playing for a coach that is just like, yo, I understand that I'm not the one making the plays out there. You guys are the reason that you're playing D1 basketball. Go like, do your thing. It's fun playing for a coach that like ignites that freedom on their players. But we talked about Coach Huss. He's obviously a great coach, head coach in waiting at Creighton right now. Expecting big things from his career. I want to hear how the conversations were between you two, like when you knew that he was going to do that, and then the conversations with High Point, because I know that it was like a competitive job search. A lot of high major guys were applying for this job. So just talk about like your off season getting the job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say maybe like a couple of days before he made his final decision, you know, he kind of talked to me about it. And it's like, oh, I'm really thinking about doing this. There was jobs that kind of came up over the last 2 years with him having so much success since he got here. Even our first season, just totally flipped the program from, you know, a 13-win program to 27 his first year. You know, we got picked 7th our first season. Nobody believed in our team, and somebody picked us first that first year. We got 7th in the preseason poll, and one of these coaches voted for us first, and Coach Huss swears up and down it wasn't him. I believe him. I wonder who the heck picked us first, but they were laughing at whoever that person was, you know. And then we ended up winning the regular season. So he had opportunities after that year that he turned down to come back, opportunities that I don't think a lot of coaches would turn down. And then this off season, he had stuff where people were trying to come after him before Creighton, and he was turning stuff down, like even high major stuff, because he thought this job was that good. then when the Creighton situation became more real for him, it was just a little too much for him to turn down because that was his one dream job. Like, I think once he got here and got things rolling, he realized this was a dream job and he was very happy here. But his family, being from Nebraska, or not being from there, but his wife going to school there and then his kids growing up there and then him coaching there as an associate head coach and they're one basket away from the Final Fours last year there and all that, like, it was just too much of a golden opportunity for him to go. And then, and it was not easy. I can promise you that he went back and forth and because he valued this place so much. And then in terms of me getting the job, it was just, this place is, our leadership is different. You know, they don't use search firms. They're not worried about the press conference. You know, they're worried about a program winning, a program that represents this university well, that their students like. So, you know, they gave me a fair opportunity with the interview. And when I interviewed with our AD and our president, you know, we knew each other before, obviously. And we talked before, but they just wanted to get to know me a little deeper. And then once they saw that, what I had been doing the last couple of years, they didn't want to complicate things. And they gave me the job. I think it was like within 36 hours of it being public that coach was leaving, I had gotten the job. You know, I thought it would take a little longer. But, you know, back to what I originally, you know, I thought it'd take maybe a week at most, just because portal, you know, era, you got to move quick. But I thought at a minimum it would take 3 days, something like that. But they believed in me. And like I said earlier in an interview, like because of that, you know, I try to work even harder.
Definitely. I respect that. I mean, and you look at the High Point University, just school in general, like the AD, the president, like they're invested in the students, like success, like livelihood, like they invest so much money into like the dining hall, the athletic center. I know you guys just got a new gym recently. So when an AD, president and school board like supports you like that, like you said, you're going to want to work that much harder. And that makes me ask just about the culture of your program. Like, what do you feel about the High Point culture and how it's maybe different from other programs or how you try to uphold it every single day?
Well, we have a good setup, that's for sure. And it's a place that's easy to get spoiled and kind of lazy. So we drive a culture of extreme hard work as if we have nothing. I mean, most of the people in this program are people who came up for very little or transferred up, per se, from places with less. We have some guys who've transferred down and they've done well, but even those guys from high major schools might say this is a nicer setup in a lot of ways. I mean, pretty much everyone that's come through the door, even if they've come from high major schools, thought that. So I try to keep guys hungry every day. We try to outwork everybody. We live in a gym. I mean, we had 6 a.m. weights today because we gave up free throw rebounds in a game. Like if you give up one free throw rebound, we have 6 a.m. weights, like just stuff like that. And that's the whole team, you know, like just trying to keep guys on edge that, hey, there's some hungry guys out there who don't like the fact that you have all this that are coming for you, you know, and they're definitely good enough and talented enough to beat you if you're not ready to play, you know. So it's been a culture that was started by Coach Huss. I was thankful enough to assist him in that. And I think we've kind of kept that same culture going. And then when you work that hard, and our guys do work, that's the nice thing about transfers is you can get a kind of a, you can say, well, what was this like there versus here? And pretty much all of them say that we get after it more than what they were doing. So I have a good idea that we're doing a good job with that. But when you work that hard, you kind of get lost in the program and get more selfless and realize that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And that's what last year's team had. We had guys coming off the bench that had been starters the year before. And then ultimately in the end, in the conference tournament, those were the guys who we needed most when it mattered most, you know, and that's truly what a team is. So I'm hoping that we have that same kind of culture. It looks like that so far. You never really know till you face that kind of adversity. And there's real heat on you. But up to this point, the new guys are taking on that same sort of culture.
I love that. Coach, I said it's fun playing for a coach like you, but I don't know if I'm jacking the 6 a.m. lift after one
free throw. Don't give up free throw rebounds. We got 4 guys. They got 2. You shouldn't give up one all season.
Okay.
I actually took that from Coach Simon, my first head coach. You know, I stole that from him. That was his thing.
Okay. Stole
every, you know, never give up free throw rebound. It's more of a focus thing, usually.
Like you just zoned out and someone sneaks up behind you, losing that hunger and that grit. This is my last question before we take a quick break. But, like, obviously, you guys have won the Big South back-to-back years. A lot of wins have came through. And you said, like, the AD and the program just expects winning. What kind of, like, chip on your shoulder slash pressure are you feeling? I know, obviously, like, you're not going to say, like, I'm scared. But, like, do you like, is that in the back of your mind? Like, I have to win? Well, it doesn't matter. It's my first year.
Back of my mind, sure, but like at the front of my mind is just I understand the process that it takes to win, so I just focus on that process. And I also am grateful that we have those sort of expectations. You know, like this is the job that anyone in the conference would want to be coaching at or playing at, you know. So with that comes a certain level of expectation. Like it's better than the alternative, you know, of being in a situation where you want a better job, where you have those sorts of expectations, right? So we just embrace it and try to get lost in the work. But I understand what our expectation is to win. And I'm glad that we've set those expectations the last couple of years, and we'll keep it going.
Yes, sir. Expecting big things. Definitely tuned in. Stay with us while I take a quick break. All right, we are back with Coach Clayman on the Not Even D2 pod. So when I was contacting your SID, I noticed in like the email, it says number one best run college in the nation. And like, if you look up anything about High Point, it talks about how good of a school it is. So from your perspective, what do you think like makes High Point such a good school? And then like, do you think that's the leading driving factor when you're recruiting transfers or recruiting, like, you got a guy from UConn who's won national championships. Just talk about like the advantages of coaching at High Point.
Yeah, I mean, our president, Nito Cubana, he leads the whole thing. He leads the whole charge. He works like crazy. He cares so much about our students. He cares so much about our community. He cares so much about the employees. It's really impressive to see how many hours he's willing to put in, how hard he's willing to work, how sharp he is at his age, and how much he just loves this. I got a chance to see him after we played Purdue in the tournament. He was nice enough to invite me to get on the plane with him and go see my wife's game in Texas. So we got on the plane and did that. And like the whole plane ride down, he's answering emails from parents and showing me things like, oh, this parent was so happy about this or that, you know. And then we get to that game and we get on the plane after the game to go back to North Carolina, and he's working the whole time again. And it's like 3 a.m, you know, and I'm thinking like, when does this dude ever sleep? Like, and usually he's, you know, with other people on the plane were asleep, and he like comes up to me and he's like, just so excited about an email he got from a parent saying, you know, how happy their kid is, you know? And it starts with his work ethic and his drive and his authenticity of actually caring about everyone. I mean, even when I was an assistant before I was a head coach, he knew my name. He knew my wife. He knew I was having a son. He would ask about those things. Like, that's just impressive to even know those details about when you have so many people working under you and so many students. So it starts with him, and then it just filters down to everything. I mean, our athletic director, Dan Hauser, does such a great job with running our athletic department and all the coaches he's hired. I mean, at the end of the day, he might not have directly found me, but he did a search to find Coach Huss. And Coach Huss, you might have known, and like coaching community might have known him, but I wouldn't say like he was just the biggest name assistant out there. You know, Dan did a tremendous search in finding him, as he's done with our other coaches. And, you know, he leads our athletic department, but all around this campus, it's just undeniable how this place is run. It's different. It moves different, feels different. It's more of a customer service experience for our students rather than like, you know, we serve our students, not the other way around. You know, if we have a family weekend, like I'm parking 5 blocks down the street and we got to take a shuttle over here because these families are parking right here, you know, because they're the customer, you know, and that's how it should be. You know, I have no problem with that. And that's how every bit of this university runs.
Nah, that's amazing. Like, I saw on campus that you guys have like a steakhouse on campus for the students. Like, that's definitely, you know, that's definitely serving them. I wish my school had that, you know. And I know, and I'm wondering, can you, I don't know if you maybe touched on this, how you think it serves you in recruiting? Like, just the fact that you have all these different, like, things at your disposal as a student. Just talk about that aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a nice icing on the cake. I mean, I would say most kids that come, it's not like, that's not the main thing. But when you get them on campus, it helps separate you from, like, say you have three visits set up. Okay, you didn't decide to come on a visit here because we have 8 swimming pools and a steakhouse. But if you've got 3 schools and you're kind of close between them, then that's a nice little separator, you know. But you wouldn't be on campus in the first place if you didn't care about basketball first and foremost, along with your academics. So, like, those things, if they fit, then it's great. All the extra stuff is a bonus for our athletes, you know. But it's very much more about the basketball side of things when we're talking about getting kids. But we feel like if we get a kid on campus, because it's so nice, that we've got a great, great shot to get them.
Nah, yeah, 100%. I mean, at the end of the day, Hoopers, all they need is a court and a basketball, and everything else is, you know, kind of the cherry on top, as you said. But it's been a great episode, Coach. We have rapid fire after this last question, but I have one more question for you. So you were a coach and a player that have kind of experienced so many different styles of hoop, from overseas to different parts of the country, right? Like, I read in your bio, you played in Ecuador, Brazil, Republic of Georgia, right? So how do you feel like your different basketball experiences have molded your philosophy as a head coach?
I mean, it's everything, really, because I've just been learning the game since I was a little kid from great basketball minds. I mean, really, really fortunate, the coaches and people I've come into contact with. I mean, the first guy that I ever even remember, other than my father, you know, but the first coach outside of my father, like, teaching me how to shoot at the park, was the guy who got traded for Wilt Chamberlain. You know, like, that was my first coach at the park, you know. Like, that's what you get when you grow up in LA. Like, and it was just nonstop throughout my career. Like, my high school coach was an assistant coach for the Lakers, like, and he won 2 championships with Phil Jackson. His dad was the head coach at UCLA for a while, and his jersey is retired as a player at UCLA, you know. And then college, like, every coach I played for has been successful in their own way. Like, my first head coach has been the Big Ten Coach of the Year and has won a National Coach of the Year award. My coach at Troy, he won a National Coach of the Year award and built that program from a Division II program into a NCAA tournament D1 program. My NAIA head coach was one of the best defensive coaches in the country and won over 400 games. The coaches that I played for internationally, my coach in Israel is now the head coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv. You know, he's known as one of the best, you know, European offensive coaches there are, you know, and I didn't play for him for that long, but, like, you pick up some stuff. And the list goes on. And then, you know, my head coach at Southern Utah, he won a National Coach of the Year award. And then Coach Hush came over here and was a finalist for National Coach of the Year and taught me a lot of stuff. So you add up all the, and then not to mention the assistant coaches that I dealt with, like Nico Medved was my assistant coach at Colorado State. Craig Smith was my assistant coach there. Like, you pick up little things from all these guys along the way, different styles, different ways. But one thing that I think is consistent is the coaches that really get buy-in from their players are authentic, and their players feel like they're authentic. You can have a different styles of play. You can have different personalities. But if they feel like you care about them and you're authentic, you'll get a lot out of them. You know, you can be a tough guy coach if that's who you are. You can be a nice guy coach if that's who you are. But I think where some get in trouble might be where you try to copy somebody else or be somebody else. Then you start to lose your guys a little bit. So I try to stick to that and just be authentic and care about my guys. And so far, so good.
Authenticity is the best policy, Coach. So definitely on the right track. And I'm definitely excited to see, you know, what High Point does this year. I know KJ and I are huge fans now. We're super tapped in. But we got rapid fire for you. You ready for rapid fire, Coach?
Yep, hope so.
All right, let's do it. So first rapid fire question I got for you. So you said you grew up a Lakers fan. So I'm wondering, who is your favorite Laker of all time? But I'm looking for an answer outside of like ones that maybe other people would guess, like Kobe, Magic. I'm looking for like an underrated player that maybe someone hasn't heard in a while.
That's a good one. Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob.
Big Shot Bob hit a lot of good shots for the Lakers. He's a great player.
Yep.
Next rapid fire question I got for you. So I'm actually going to LA on Thursday for the first time. I've never been to the West Coast, so this is more of a personal question. Sorry, KJ, I gotta ask this. But what would be the go-to spot in LA that I gotta go to when I visit?
In terms of what, like food?
Yeah, food.
I mean, I'm not the most hip, to be honest, and I've been gone forever, but you know, I moved out when I was 18, but I mean, hit up Tao in West LA, you know. That's a big time, you know, Asian food. They got it in Vegas too, and like I think they have New York and all that too. But if you haven't been, it's great.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
And then last rapid fire question I got for you. What is the maybe one or two, because you shot 48% from three in college at and I'm wondering, what is a telltale sign for an elite shooter that you always look for?
I mean, their touch. You can't teach touch. I've never been able to teach touch. Like, those guys who get that backspin on that ball, like, and it's just natural, you know. Now, in terms of going from good to great, that requires a lot of work and a lot of focus and a lot of determination. But, like, that, there's a natural talent to your touch, just like there's a natural talent to your jumping ability or your athletic ability.
Nah, that's probably the most beautiful thing in basketball, seeing the ball spin when a shooter shoots it. Ruda low-key got that.
Mm-hmm. You got that? Nice. Yep.
We got to end this episode with a starting five edition. So as a coach, you're assembling your ideal lineup, point guard through center. Who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best Big South players over the, like, the past 2 years.
So just five guys from the South that I would start.
Yeah. And you can include high point players, but don't just be like point guard, high point, small forward, high point. Just tell me where they play at.
That's tough. Well, been in the league 2 years, so I definitely got to start with Keza, because that's two-time first-team All-League point guard. I got to put Kamani in there because he's two-time first-team All-League forward. I got to put Bodo in there because he's two-time. I think I'm going to just go all high point. I'm not just trying to, but I'm going all high point. So I'd go those three. You know, I got to put my guy Duke Miles in there, even though he spent only one year with us. That dude was the man for a year and helped us move this program around, turn it around, I should say. And then, you know, it's tough after that, man. There were so many good players, and I'm leaving out so many great ones. You know, Mean Mug, Trey Benham has a good case. I'm gonna go with Bobby Pettiford, though. I'm gonna go with the three guard lineup, just because he was MVP of the conference tournament when it really mattered. And if we might be a little small, but we're not gonna have a lot of turnovers, and we're gonna have a lot of skill. And Bodo can clean up all the rebounds and whatnot. So that would be my five over the last 2 years. But I'm definitely, I mean, you're talking about Drew Pember, guys like that, leaving them off. That's probably not fair. But I'm gonna roll with my guys.
No, I respect it. It's not actually not even crazy to have all high point lineup, just because you guys been dominating, and I'm looking forward to see if that continues. We're tapped in on the journey. Good luck this next year, and appreciate you getting on, Coach.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for our conversation with Coach Clayman. It was a great combo, and definitely learned a lot about just like running offense, keeping teams locked in throughout the year. It was a good conversation, but one thing we talked about in the episode, like, their president cares, their athletic director cares, and you can see this, like, they played in the Field of 68 tournament, which was a great tournament, or like live stream, whatever you want to call it, day of games, and they interviewed the AD, Dan Houser, at halftime, and you don't hear athletic directors with so much passion about, like, his school's teams. Like, obviously he knew that they were preseason ranked number one in their conference, and that they had a good offense, but he knew like every single statistic. You can tell he really cares about what's going on in his athletic department. And you can see the innovations that they're making in the school. You brought up a few things, like a steakhouse, or they're expanding the dining halls, just little things like that to make the whole school a better experience for all the students. And then it's translating on the court. So from the top down, like you gotta respect High Point and start to put them more on your radar than previously known.
Yeah, for sure. I think I definitely agree with everything you just said, bro. And it's the AD and the president too. Both of them have, you know, they have a high interest in just the success of their students, especially student athletes, bro, and want to give them the tools that they need to succeed. You know, I think I mentioned it in the intro, but just the one thing I admire, he obviously, like I said, he came from NAIA, but from his comments, it seemed to me like he was kind of like built up to have this job, like from the previous head coach. I'm forgetting his name, excuse me, but so he was really molded into this opportunity, bro. And now I don't see why he can't take over and why he can't run with it. And I think he will. So just those two points I wanted to bring up. But yeah, overall, great episode, bro, for sure.
Yeah. But we got a lot more coming out next few weeks. So make sure you follow us, subscribe. Definitely good content coming out. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.